Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our seventh session of My Strong Spirit. And before we get started today, let me do two things. Let me first thank you for the comments you've made and the encouragement that you've given about how good this has been for you. I know it's something we probably don't think a lot about, don't hear a lot of teaching on it, but this has been a great one for me to teach. It has encouraged me, and I trust that, as many of you have testified, it's done the same for all of you. Now, the second thing I want to mention is that on September 4th, which is the Wednesday during the week of Labor Day, we are not going to have a session. We're going to be doing some traveling, and we're going to take that week off from this study, and we'll pick back up on the 11th. And I'm sure the Lord's got something in mind good for us as we pursue that. So let me pray and we'll jump into today's session. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this series that you've given us, that you've taught us how to have a strong spirit. And I thank you today you're going to show us how we live from that strong spirit. We ask you, Lord, to just open your word, reveal it to us so that we can just see how we have become stronger in you during this study and how we can continue to progress and maintain that which you've given us in our spirit. And it's in Jesus' precious name we say, amen. So last week, we talked about how we've been stronger with exercise and rest. Now, before that, you remember we talked about the need for a proper diet. But all of these sessions we've been anchored in Proverbs 18:14. And listen to what this verse says as we read it for a last time in this study. The strong spirit, now I'm reading from Amplified. The strong spirit of a man sustains him. It takes hold of him. It is an action that our spirit takes to enable us to do what? To endure, one translation said, or keep us held tight in bodily while we're going through bodily pain and trouble. And then it tells us a weak and broken spirit, no one can stand or endure. Now, as we talked in our last session about exercise and rest, we looked at a verse in 1 Timothy 4, the 7th verse, the last part. The Amplified simply says, train yourself toward godliness. So this is something that we have to do. And that's what I think one reason that the Lord is teaching us on is to just bring back to our knowing that this is something we want to focus on. That will continue to help us. It seems like it's been a theme, doesn't it, of just growing stronger and stronger in Him as we approach the days of your ahead. The Amplified concludes that by saying, keeping yourself spiritually fit. So it's becoming spiritually fit and staying that way. And so much, as we've seen, there's so much benefit in having this strong spirit. Now, we talked last time about exercise and rest. And what we said was concerning exercise, it's a necessity for our strong spirit, just as it's good for our bodies to exercise. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, and we'll pick up with 7b again, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation. We're going to read 7 and 8, the end of 7 and 8. And this is an older New Living Translation. The one that you currently see or buy today does not have this verse written in this manner. It says, spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value. And I'm not saying forego all physical exercise, just focus on the spirit. Both are profitable to us. This says it has some value. But spiritual exercise is much more important. Why? Because it promises a reward both in this life and in the life to come. Now, we looked at several areas that we want to exercise ourselves in our spirit man. The first was being a doer of the word. We saw in James, and I'll read 22 and 25, and I'm going to do so from the Bible and basic English. That's James 1, 22 and 25. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers of it. Not only hearers of it. And why is that important? Listen to this next phrase. Because it says we will blind ourselves with false ideas if we don't apply what we're learning. There'll just be some concept that won't be meaningful to us. The 25th verse goes on to say, "But he who goes on looking into the true law, which makes him free, being," and this is what makes us free, "being not a hearer without memory, but being a doer, putting it into effect." Oh, I like that. Don't be a hearer without memory, but a doer, putting it into effect. This man will have a blessing on his acts. So it's something we must practice. We must exercise ourselves using what we're learning in the Word today. And what does this do? Promote spiritual growth in our spirit being. Second thing we looked at is that we need to practice diligence. Now, we spent weeks talking about diligence, but 2 Peter, 1st chapter, the 10th verse, tells us to be even more diligent to make our call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. And the only way we can do that is being diligent with the Word, stepping out on the Word, practicing the Word. And that can be intimidating. Starting these sessions was really an intimidating thing for me to sit and just look at a camera and record. But it is so, so important and so necessary for each of us to do it. The third area that we looked at concerning exercise was perseverance and patience, which we talked about was the same word. And we got some revelation on that as we went through these verses, seeing how what to us may seem like two separate concepts are really the same. Patience and persevering, or staying the course on a matter. We read Romans 5, 3 through 5, so let me just remind you about that today. I won't read the whole thing, but it says that when we go through tribulation, don't see it as a bad thing, see it as a good thing, because it brings about perseverance. We learn how to persevere, having patience, and walk through it. And that perseverance brings us what? Proven character. And that proven character then leads to hope, which we know hope in the Lord does not disappoint us. So important. It's how we stand when we're believing to receive. The third area we looked at was praying, and we looked at three areas of it. Or really, that's the fourth area, I guess, third or fourth. And it says that, and what we talked about really was praying in several different ways. Number one, praying in our normal language, but focusing on praying the Word, His will for our life. And we saw how that's so, so important. We also talked about the importance of praying in our spirit language, our prayer language, in tongues. And then finally, to take time as we do this and listen. Fellowship with the Father is really what praying is, speaking to Him and let Him speak to you. And too often we do too much of the speaking when the one who knows the most is the one that ought to be doing most of the talking. And then finally, one that's difficult for a lot of us was exercising forgiveness. And some of you have commented, boy, certain cases are really difficult. But we saw a verse that I think really encouraged me in Isaiah 43rd chapter, the 25th verse, and this is from New King James. I alone, the Lord says, will blot out my sins for your own sake and will never think of them again. Now, the word think in the Hebrew means to remember something and to mention it. And the Lord is saying He's never going to do this. Well, we know that we can't always just wipe the slate clean and never think of something again. But what the Lord spoke to us last session was, it may come to mind, but if you don't dwell on it, if you don't mutter it, if it doesn't come out of your mouth, then you're keeping it from gaining a place back in you once you have forgiven. And I think that's so, so important. The final thing we talked about was why rest is necessary for a strong spirit. What did Jesus say? Come to me and I will give you rest. You'll find rest in me. Hebrews 4:9 says plainly, there remains a rest for the people of God. So what does rest or resting imply? It implies waiting on the Lord, being still. And we looked at Psalm 46, verse 10, which simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." So now that we finish that today, that review, what I want us to do today and what I believe the Spirit has led us to do is to talk about two different things, but I want the focus to be what the title is, Strong in Spirit, I Will. And then we're going to fill in some blanks for there. But first, before we do that, I want to just talk about a few things that the enemy will do to try to throw us off course. He tells us to be wise as a serpent. And so we want to know his ways. And one of the things you're going to see is he doesn't have but one way. And he tries to get to your thinking to take you off, take your thoughts off the Word of God. And then we'll, after we finish a few of these, we're going to go and look at how I'm going to live my life from my strong spirit. So knowing the enemy's ways, what are some things that he does? Well, fear, worry, and carrying cares. And I just lump those together. Now, this verse is a verse that you won't probably haven't studied very often, but it's really interesting. And it shall be when they say to you, "Why are you sighing?" Now, so many of us just get perplexed or hopefully not frustrated, but we, and that's not a cleansing breath sometimes. It's a exhale of frustration. So listen to what it says. "This shall be your answer. Because of the news," so because of something that comes to you that you're told, "when it comes, every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water." So what is this news doing? Well, it's creating all kind of fear, anxiety, concerns, cares to carry. And this verse is clear. It will do you harm. It will actually do you harm not only in your spirit, but your flesh as well, as doctors have proven. So let this verse encourage us that we've been given a way to stay away from the impact of desperation sighs versus cleansing breath. Now, we saw this happen with Goliath. He had this effect on the army of Saul, which the Lord says are my armies. In 1 Samuel 17, 10 and 11, the Philistine said, "I will defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man who will fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, isn't that almost a repeat of some of the things that this previous verse in Ezekiel that we looked at in Ezekiel 21? But David, when he went there, he had a different spirit, didn't he? When he went there, they said, "Have you seen this guy?" And David, they said that right after David heard him. But what did David do? He had developed a strong spirit. And he said to them, "Who is this uncircumcised man who's defying the armies of Israel?" So he was ready to go get him then. We also see this with the disciples when they are with Jesus. Now, these things may arise and catch us off guard sometime, but when we do, we can grasp hold of ourselves and bring us right back. Mark 4, 37 and 38, "They're in the boat and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat," or into the boat, "so that it was already filling." And 38 says, "But he," Jesus, "was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Now that verse I've told you before, just really, it's almost funny to me. Here he is sent to the earth as the savior of the universe so that we don't perish. And that's the very thing. But you see how fear grips us if we allow it to. But I can say to you, but being strong in spirit, we will be doers of the word. And as 1 Peter 5, 7 says, we will give all or cast all our cares over to God. Why? Because he cares about you and I. Now, I've told you before, he wants to take our care because that word literally means it matters to him. So we're going to know the enemy's ways, and that we're going to get rid of fear, anxiety, and worry. And a strong spirit will do that. The other thing that we need to know is the devil will try to get us and fill us with thoughts so that we end up yielding to the flesh. And remember, Scripture tells us that flesh is at enmity. I would say it differently. Our flesh and God don't jive together naturally. It's not his fault. It's our flesh that just rebels against the things of the Lord. Listen to Psalm 31, verse 10. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. Wow, there's that again. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. New Living simply says it this way. Sin has drained my strength. So we see, when we yield to things of the flesh that are not of the Lord, they will impact us. That's what happened to Samson, isn't it? If you think about him and his story. Genesis, the third chapter, the seventh verse. Adam and Eve had been partaking of the apple, directly opposite of what the Lord told them to do, right? And look at what happened the instant they did it. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and you would say, open to what? To sin. To that which separates you from God. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. And what did they go do? They hid. So yielding to our flesh has a detrimental impact on us. So what do we know? What can we do? We will do what 1 Peter 2:11 says. Dear friends, this is New Living also. I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. And when we have this eternal perspective, that's how we'll see this life. He's encouraging us to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against our very beings, our soul, trying to get us to get our flesh to yield to those things that comes against us. A third thing, more subtle, that he does to us is he tries to load us down to where we just stay so busy all the time, even on things that appear good, that it just wears us down. So it's too many works, some are too much that's just not important, unnecessary, I would call it. Things that are not our assignment. And what did Jesus say? I only do what I see him do. I only say what I hear him say. So this tells us with a strong spirit, we can be more focused. Now, in Luke 10, verse 40, the best example in Scripture, I think, is of Martha. It says, Martha was distracted. Now, note that word. It took her attention away from Jesus. And she was distracted, what? With much serving, something that's good. And she approached him and said, thinking he's going to be on her side, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, what did Jesus say? He said that Mary had chosen the better thing. So this is just a warning. It's not saying don't serve people in that manner, but it's saying keep your perspective correct and make those things more important. Now, often we take on more than we should. In other words, sometimes it's not the devil just tempting us. It's our desires to do good. But this is an answer to 1,001 questions. Be led. Because often these things that we undertake are not God's plans, and he's not obligated something that he hasn't told us to do. He's not obligated to provide to help us do it when he's not told us to do. So what can we do on this? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And then it goes on to say, and sin that so easily ensnares us. That's what we were talking about earlier. And then we run the race with endurance that is set before us. But go back to this phrase, let us lay aside every weight. Things that hold us back, that weigh us down, even though it's not sin. And this verse says that both of these things will hinder our performance of performing his will in this world. And then I've got listed 8 things that I just entitled it spiritual drains. These things will sap your strength, sap your energy. And we've seen a lot of these in our previous session, so I'm just going to have this list here. But I want you to notice, most every one of them start with thoughts. Condemnation, offense, judging others, bitterness, jealousy, strife, unforgiveness, and I have to add this one, the riches of this world. Take our attention away, take our focus away, and will drain us so that we don't spend our time serving Him as He desires. But now, let's go to part 2. And this is I'm doing this last because this to me is the takeaway. Strong in spirit, so strong in my spirit, I will. And I've got several items here. Strong in my spirit, I will feed on God's word every day. What does Matthew 6:11 say? Jesus talking in the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I like to use this model prayer as a declaration. And if that's the case, then I could say, you give us, or you give me my daily bread every day. I'm not just talking about physical bread, but what? Spiritual bread. So what do? We make and give time and space for a time in the Word every day. Why? Because we esteem it. We know it is the foundation for our life. We understand the importance of it. When we do that, strong in spirit, I will increase in faith, and I will increase in the results, the promises that come to pass that we are promised in Scripture. Now, to me, reading from Proverbs, the book of wisdom, 20-23, and what I want you to see here is that this is great wisdom for you and I, but look at what it provides for us. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear in my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, to me, that doesn't mean I have to keep it right here and everywhere I walk, I'm looking up and looking down. Look, that's not what it means. To me, that's just implying do it daily. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We can do that by speaking them. For they are life to those who find them. His words are life, remember that, and health to all their flesh. And then he tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of this strong spirit we have, flow all or spring out all of the issues of life. Now, take that then, and let's think about what Jesus said in Mark 4:24. He said, take heed what you hear. Now, why are you putting that in there, Minton? Because if we are not giving attention to His Word, if we are hearing things that cause us to sigh or that create alarm in us, then what happens? Things go negatively. So Jesus warns us, take heed or be careful about what you hear. Why? Because hearing the wrong faith will build confidence in something that becomes a faith that you do not want. So we can, with our strong spirit as we live in it, increase in faith and the results it brings to us and to others more and more and more. The third thing is to speak and pray the word. Now, some of these sound redundant. That's okay, because it's hearing and hearing that's going to, this word, which I'm convinced is anointed, that's going to cause us to spring forth from our spirit and see these things manifest in our life. Proverbs 18:21, a verse that we and many others talk about a lot. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So words spoken, this is saying, are powerful. And then it says, those who love it, I would just say those who use it, will eat its fruit. Can I say it starts enlist death first? We don't want that fruit. So what do we need to speak? Things of life are what? Words that come from Jesus. Anointed words in the scripture. Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. All of his commandments, all these words, that's where we're living from, this righteousness that you and I have been made. Again, we spent time talking about it. And so we're speaking his words because we want to speak the right words. We take care or take heed what we hear, but we also need to take heed what we say. Now, the best way to tell where your heart is when something happens that is unexpected, the first words out of your mouth. What you've trained yourself to say will give you, will locate you in this. If it's not where you want, what do we know? No condemnation. The devil wants you to take something, you have maybe an area that's not as strong as others, and just beat yourself to pieces with it. Don't let him do that. So what do we do then? Well, we don't speak idle words. We don't speak non-productive words. Matthew 12:36 tells us, and you can guard your tongue. We have scriptures that could talk. We could teach a lot about that. Maybe that's for one day. But in Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, I say to you that every idle word, I like to use the term there, non-productive word. Every idle or non-productive word men may speak, that we're going to have to give an account on it. Now, don't let that bother you either. Because if we find ourselves speaking out of words, not his will, then if it's not a faith, then we know it's a sin. But what do? We know we're forgiven. So we don't condemn ourselves and, again, beat ourselves up. So what will we do? We will speak words of life, words filled with power, because they're his words. John 6:63. It is the Spirit, Jesus says, who gives life. It is the Spirit that you're joined with in your spirit. His words are what gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Well, we've seen that already. And Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, the words we have recorded in the Word of God, they are spirit, which means what? They will produce life, and they will produce things that produce power to bring change about. So these words that I speak to you, they are powerful and they produce life. I want to say again, and I think this is important. You can hear a number of people speak words, his word over you, but the most powerful voice you listen to is your own. So you need to be making declarations as well, because these words will produce the most, or have the most effect or the most impact on your life. And that's why it's important for us to make daily confessions of faith. And let me just tell you, some days I don't go through lists every day. This morning when I was walking and just thinking about this teaching and thought about this verse as I was walking, I just begin to confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am growing in his righteousness. My total focus, just spontaneous out of my heart, was righteousness. So that's the kind of things that I'm talking about. You can be led and ask Spirit to show you. Holy Spirit will show you. Your coach will instruct you on what you need to say, because he knows what's coming against us in the coming days. The fourth thing that I have on this list is consistently renew and align my mind with God's Word. We got born again. My spirit man changed. I was the same height and I was the same weight right after I got born again as I was just before. And my mind was just as unrenewed afterwards as it was then. So it is important. We need to take Romans 12:2 seriously. Do not be conformed to this world. That means don't think like the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, so that we can do things that are fully in alignment with the will of God, because then we know we're walking in the grace given the ability to perform, to make sure of our calling and our election and the office which we're to fulfill. And all of us are called in different ways. Philippians 4:8 is also a good one. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. This is new living. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And if you ponder this, then what you're going to go back to think about is things that have been brought to you in the Word of God or through the Word of God. One of the best things we can do is to tell God that we believe the things that are written in the Scripture about Him. That's a great form of praise, being thankful for it. Now, if thoughts come, though, as our mind becomes renewed and we know the devil's ways, then we can pull down any strongholds he tries to put or capture our mind with. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Anointed One. In other words, to the obedience of the Word, as Jesus is the Word. That's the only way He has to attack us, is through our thought life. He's constantly planning thoughts. And if we mutter and meditate on it, then we'll be just as guilty of trying to dig up some old things that we've done and bring condemnation to ourselves. So we can cast these down and think on things that are pure, think on His Word, think on the beauty of holiness that is the Lord. And then finally, continually be in praise and giving thanks to God our Father and to our Lord Jesus. Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and unweaned infants, it says, you have established strength. Now to me, in the context of what we're teaching, when we praise, it does what? It strengthens us. Doesn't strengthen the Lord. It honors Him. It's part of our worship. But it strengthens us. And then it says, He does that because of the foes we have, so that we might silence the inner enemy and avenger. When we praise, the devil can't stand it. He's going to quit. He is going to give up. And then you consider what Jesus said in Matthew 21:6, where he, 16, excuse me, I missed the one there. He says, in taking this verse and giving his insight to it, he says, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Oh, I just am convinced that giving of thanks is that highest form of praise. When you don't know what else to say, begin to thank the Lord for everything He's done in your life and the lives of those you care about. And finally, Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, we know that doesn't mean that we can't speak any other words. But that to me says, my tongue is ready to praise the Lord at all times. And then the last thing, with my strong spirit, I will live His word. I'm going to be just like Acts 10:38 describes of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. we can be that person. Jesus told us in John 14:12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Saints, I believe with all my heart that if we take these words to heart today and begin to use these, even these last few statements about this is what my strong spirits will do, and declare these verses, we will see ourselves grow and be more sure of the calling and the office that he's called us to, whatever that may be, different for each one of us. I hope this series has blessed you. I pray that it has, and I pray that not only will you just take what you hear have heard today, but you'll be able to go back and Holy Spirit will recall some of these things as tests and trials come against us, so that we can, with patience, persevere and walk in character from our spirit with our mind renewed that promotes hope. Jesus is our hope, and as we do, we will see things come to pass in ways we've never seen it before. So remember now, we're not going to be having a session on Wednesday, September 4th, and we'll be returning and spending our next time with you on the 11th of September. Be blessed, and I trust you have a good holiday weekend coming up, and we'll be back together shortly.